Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
And now, let's dive into today's episode.
Let's always do podcasts this way.
Wine tastes great at 11 o'clock in the morning.
I grew up on the road with my dad's band. When I had built this career and spent so much time, you know, and effort building it, and I was to a place that I loved so much.
By the way, I just grabbed the wine when you started talking about the kids.
Nice. Yeah. To appreciate each other and to, you know, create a team. And that's not an easy thing to do.
So she's made me a far better person than I ever could have been without. So.
We've both been really open with each other, I think, from the very start.
There's a 120% trust, and I couldn't tell you why.
I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and you know, let love keep us together.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Well, so we just want to welcome you guys today. We are so glad, Mindy and Eric, to have you guys with us. It's funny how Mindy, Kim, and I are big fans of the arts and the performing arts, and we had come across you and your performances and your skills a few times in our history with Ruth Eckerd Hall. And the latest was when they had their fundraiser during COVID, and you did a beautiful, looked like you're on your back porch or a back porch singing a song. And you could, you know, I remember Kim and I looked at each other. Not only did we love what you did, but we loved your presence. And we both said to each other, we got to see if we can talk to her. And
you're so sweet. That's so cool.
And when I talked to Susie Delaney and Eric, she let me know. She goes, wow, they really have this really cool thing with music and wine. They bring them together. They do the reserve tastings. Susie said, you got to interview them. They'd be a great couple. So, Eric, I'm so glad to meet you and that we have an opportunity to talk to you all today. 2 years into this relationship, although 2 years officially, though, I dated Kim for a short while before we got married. So I know the relationship has gone on.
For about 8 years, a little over eight, actually, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're starting to lose timing on things. We were just talking about it the other day. We're like, has it been 20? Has it been four?
Well, the pandemic counted as a lot, I think.
Yeah, it just mushed everything together in a good and challenging way. But we were just, wow, how long has it been?
Math isn't my subject per se. I play saxophone. I don't have to think about math very much, but I think it's been 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you with us. You bring two great different worlds that we love both of together. So we're excited to jump in and hear more about that and how you all came together. And really kind of the first question that we throw out, and you both can answer this and either one of you can go first, it's okay, is what do you think makes you a kick-ass couple?
Go ahead.
I love thinking of us as a kick-ass couple. I just think the name you came up with is awesome, master plan to live our lives, you know, the best way that we could.
Yeah. And we actually did write that down. We sat down one day and said, what would the perfect life look like years from now? And I would say that we're pretty close to that little thing that we wrote down years ago.
Yeah.
So you visioned it first and then now you're just playing it out, living it out, I guess.
And it took some sacrifices, it took big decisions. It took changes in both of our careers. I had to leave the executive ranks of wineries. Mindy's husband is around a little bit more on the road. You know, so that there's changes that we both had to accept, which were excellent. But at the end of the day, this is exactly where we want to be.
Yeah. And I get someone to carry my saxophone to and from the show now, which is awesome.
That's true.
Roadie.
That's what most people know me as. Mr. A-Bear.
So,
go ahead. I was just going to say, so I tell you what, we've got a beautiful bottle of wine here that you were so sweet. It's called Soul Pinot Noir. Maybe while I open this, so we can enjoy it during the interview as you talk, you hit on a really key concept, and then I'll let you talk to us about the wine, is marriage. You know, you've got I, you've got you, right? Before you're married, you're individuals, but it becomes us. And it sounds like the two of you made a very intentional plan for what us needs to look like. You said, this is what it's going to be. This is what we'd like to do. Yep. You've created it. And I think that's critical for any successful relationship. It's not I and you. It becomes us. And you guys have done that. So maybe you can guys can talk about that a little bit while I open or talk about this wine, Eric, that we get to enjoy courtesy of you guys and how it came around.
Yep.
We'll always send you wine. It's totally our happy place, our fun place. So, but when you get into that wine and we're not in your Airstream with you and there's just a little left over, turn on the playlist for it because it's so fun. Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about kind of how we do it?
That's a different type of podcast.
Right.
That we'll be on later. That's
a whole different podcast.
I think
podcast.
Nikki Six has that podcast.
Oh, maybe.
We'll be on that one later. I think, you know, the I versus us, it was very comfortable to move into that. We were both married once before, so we understood the nature of a relationship before ours. We were a little older when we met each other. We were in our early 40s, so we kind of had some history behind us before we got to our relationship. Okay. And you know, one of the things with my career, some people said to me, "Listen, you're dating someone who's got a massive career, and she's in the public spotlight, and there's a lot of people that come at her around shows." I've been pushed to the side before. I've been called her ex-husband's name, but it was. They gave me a really nice glass of wine. So I thought that was, I'm like, sure. Great. What's in this glass? They said, Camus. I'm like, great. Call me whatever you want. Hey, cheers, you know? And none of it, I actually love it, I should say. I thought it was awesome because I knew going into it that when Mindy's around her environment, in her shows and her people, it's great. I think it's awesome. I think it's a turn on. I think it's really awesome for her. I'm happy to see her be successful. And she's better at being chatty than I am. And I mean that in all the loving way. But I don't mind kind of fading back a little bit and kind of being the New Jersey bodyguard and just kind of overseeing things with a glass of wine. So the us in her world, and it is big. There's a lot of texts, emails, people that come at her all the time. I just love it. I just knew that that's a happy place for me is to support her and also have my own career and my two daughters and everything else. So I didn't have a challenge getting into the us at all. If anything, that pool is a better place for me to swim in because when it's just me, I'm not as comfortable. I like being more of an us and feeling like my life has a larger purpose than just, you know, what I like to do all day. So
drink wine.
Yeah.
I got to say, just to add on to that, you know, being in the music world is what I'm used to. I'm used to being on tour and in a tour bus and in front of people and he gets to open the wine. See, this makes it all better.
It's because he opened up his. So I'm going to open up mine. We'll do it on little screw cap. Nice. Didn't know this was going to be interactive.
By the way, Matthew, your pour was spectacular.
Was it big?
It was great. No, just the pour.
Did he do it in a master sommelier type way?
I live with the wine guy, and that was exceptional.
Let me put this on camera.
See, check him out.
Oh yes, position the label right. Mm. You do that right.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Trying to make the
you know I'm going to spill this all over your mic.
That's all right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I love that. So being a part of his world, you know, it was just something completely different, and I loved supporting him, and my, you know, my place in the wine world is as his wife, you know, originally as his girlfriend. And it was fun to just be supportive and be in his world. And it's a pretty sexy world. So, you know, I'm with incredible winemakers. And of course, there's incredible food around and we're in beautiful settings. And what a beautiful thing to add to my life that, you know, is just a completely different world. So I actually think that both of us added to our, you know, kind of ourselves, that me that you talked about, when we became we, both of our lives opened up in very different ways. And we got to take on roles that, I mean, looking back, I don't know if I would have called this, you know, thought, ooh, I'd be with a wine guy and be the wife. I love it. It's so fun.
Did you just call yourself the wife?
I'm the wife.
Yeah.
You're the husband.
I'm the husband. Very Jersey.
Here's to you.
All right, cheers, guys. All right,
here's
cheers
to you guys.
Yeah. Woo!
Hmm.
Let's, you know, always do podcasts this way.
Wine tastes great at 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. It's early for you.
We're professionals. Totally fine.
Awesome.
Nice Pinot.
So
thank you.
I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to ask each of you, and I want to hear a little bit about both of your backgrounds, but I think there's a lot of truth to the fact that we are products of the people who raised us. And so our families of origin play a big role in what we bring to a relationship. And in some cases, it's positive. And in some cases, it might be negative and could have trauma. And so I'm just curious, Mindy, what did love look like to you growing up when you were young?
Yeah. And I think this is going to be, I think, interesting because I think they're completely going to be different answers. I really do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally yeah. Different answers.
Yeah.
I grew up on the road with my dad's band. So it was just total hippie, you know.
Yeah.
Peace and love.
Big, there's pictures of her dad, big mutton chops and the big bell huge, bottoms, huge hair.
Huge hair down yeah. to, you know.
I mean.
Yeah.
You could fit into his pants now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I wear his pants now. From the 70s now.
70s hippie dude. Yeah. Yeah.
But my parents were really interesting to look at as far as love. I love that you asked this question.
They're awesome.
Yeah, it's like my dad never had a dad. He died in the war before my father was born. So my grandmother got pregnant right after her husband left for the war. And he died within the first couple months. So my father never knew that relationship of, you know, of a wife and husband, you know, the way that most people would. And I really think my mother needed that too. Her parents had broken up and they needed each other and they found this beautiful place with each other. They are just so loving to this day, aren't they?
So they're what, in their mid 70s, and they met when they were 19?
Yeah, my mother was 19 when they met and got married.
And they've been together ever since. I mean, they're an incredibly beautiful couple.
Yeah.
They've had one kid, Mindy. And I mean, their whole world is just revolves around her and supporting her and each other. So it is one of the most nurturing, connected, normal families that I've ever experienced. It's unbelievable.
I mean, we'll be at a birthday party or over here, you know, drinking wine at the fire pit. And my father will just say out of nowhere, "Isn't she beautiful? She's just so perfect. She's just, you know."
Yeah. To this day, he does that.
Yeah. And, you know, my father's 76 years old and, you know, they've been married 54 years, but it is that amazing kind of, they found it somehow. And they were great parents. You know, it was always just this clan of the three of us. And, to this day, we're really close. So I believe I had a really nice thing to grow up
outstanding.
With.
And they were supportive. And I see it in her to this day. You know, we have a word called scoochie. That's, you know, when you get a little grumpy throughout the day, apparently I get a little more scoochy than most people. But our kids, we say that to them as well. She never, she never gets scoochy. She is happy most of the day, smiling, positive, loving. And I think a lot of that comes from her upbringing, definitely.
So if you had to say something really positive that you came away with is just that great attitude and that just sort of happy-go-lucky all day feeling.
Yeah, I think, you know, watching them as a couple, to bring it back to kind of, you know, we can be a product of our environment, whether we learn what to do from our parents or whether we learn what not to do from our parents. What I learned from them is they became a team. You know, it was not my father and my mother, and they had their different things they were into, but they became a total team.
Yeah, they didn't go off and then separate for days, months, or hours in the day. They would figure everything out together, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is interesting. Yeah.
So that's kind of what I learned from them, to appreciate each other and to, you know, create a team. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, there's plenty of things I want to go out and do that, you know, maybe doing the team thing isn't as easy, but I do think it's made their lives better. And when we work as a team, it totally makes our lives better too. And I think that creates joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Eric? If you had to go back and recall what love looked like in your household growing up, what would you say?
You know, love was about the kids, not so much between my parents. So my father died when he was 42 from a heart attack. He was an Italian. We came from an Italian immigrant family on my dad's side. Excuse me. On my dad's side. And so he was a chef, an Italian chef, and he worked blue collar jobs. And there wasn't a tremendous amount of love between my parents, but they were both excellent parents. So they were awesome to us. And so me and my two brothers grew up in this little Italian, little Jersey household, and great friends, great family, people around us, amazing, lifelong friends, very close-knit Italian neighborhood. But one thing was that we weren't as close as Mindy is to her parents. My mom and I are very close now. My dad and I were very, and we were back then, you know, always. And my brothers are very close, but not this really daily connection that Mindy has. We could check in with each other like once a month or once every 2 months and be fine. And we haven't seen each other in about a year and a half. But I found that all my relationships that I've had up to now, and the way I treat this one, and I say this often, I take nothing from my childhood. I'm a 52-year-old man now, and I can make my own decisions. I don't make any excuses for anything that happened in my childhood, which, by the way, nothing really happened. It was awesome. I didn't see a loving relationship, but everything else was really great. But I also, you know, some of the positive things I do, you know, I'm a really great father, I guess I've been told. And so I think I probably got that from my upbringing. But all my relationships, and including the one with Mindy, I never use excuses for anything that happened in the past. I am fully in control of everything that I either feel, do, how I treat our relationship, if I'm scoochy or not.
Get scoochy occasionally.
So I take really very little from my upbringing, and other than probably the way I approach my daughters. So
not having that role model of parents who really modeled love and affection for each other, how did that impact your relationship with Mindy?
It doesn't, because I've lived quite a long life before I met Mindy. So I've seen enough amazing relationships and bad ones, like we all have. I've seen ones that work and don't. So I had enough experience from just life that I felt like after 18, after I left the house, I looked at the ones that were great. I'm constantly fascinated.
Oh, we got the family got pictures the on the back.
There. I know, as I'm saying that, the screensaver's coming
back.
Good
to see the cat and kids and, you know.
I'm fascinated by excellence in people. I'm fascinated by excellence not only in people like musicians or wine people or people like yourselves, chefs, but I'm also fascinated in excellent relationships or people that are great business people. So I love, she knows this, I love to study people that are just great. And I focus on greatness in people and I try to mimic the things that I could take in my life. And it sounds like Tony Robbins, but that's just, I love people who excel and yep. relationships that excel, like her parents. So I take from those, actually, from like her parents, you know.
Nice. So you've used other role models and other people who are modeling that behavior and sort of imported it into what you're doing now. I love that.
I think we've all experienced life enough to be able to now take from the greater good instead of just the small amount of years that I grew up in New Jersey. So.
Yeah, we keep evolving, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great, I can relate a little bit. So Kim and I have been married. We're coming up on 27 years. And we had just started dating in December. Nice. And then in January, actually, Mindy, we went to Ruth Eckert Hall on Guys and Dolls, the musical. And she met my mom one time. And then, and that was in January. And then in February, my mom got ill quickly and passed away at 59. So it was, it rocked my world, certainly. But, and I'd had, I was 26, 25 at the time. So obviously I'd had great impact from my mom. And I was kind of angry for a while because I thought, golly, my wife doesn't benefit from this beautiful mother figure, my grandkid, And then I realized, I said, you know what? All that love and care that she would have given is going to come through in different people in different ways. And I still had those same qualities. Took me a while to learn the lesson that we still got those great qualities from other greats, people who excelled, people who expressed the love. And it was a nice, not a substitute, but I didn't go without because I was lovingly provided a lot of those things from somewhere else. And so
you mean you take from all the books that you were taught in a class, not just the first one, right? You take from all the studies, and that's a great way to look at life. I think so.
Absolutely.
I actually love that you talk about your mother and you were, angry that your wife couldn't, grow to love her and know her like you did. But I love the idea that we can take people who aren't in our lives anymore and carry on who they were and what they gave us and, how they nurture and all of that. I think it's so important because we lose people along the way. And whether it's early on or later, you can take those beautiful parts of those people and carry them on in your own relationship, in your own friendships, So I love that you, see that in your mother and carry that on because, boy, she carried on some incredible stuff at Ruth Eckert Hall. And it's enabled not only you, but many more of her kids,
right?
Which absolutely. Were all the patrons of Ruth Eckert and, all these people to experience art and music and entertainment and just a sense of community, which they've built in such a great way. So your mom was obviously an incredible, incredible woman.
Thank you.
She left a beautiful legacy. She really did.
Yeah.
Learned a lot from her. She gave a lot and definitely certainly inspires us. One of the reasons we're doing this podcast really is because we want to talk to people in an effort to help others. If someone can listen to this podcast, which undoubtedly they will, and get something for themselves, find a pearl and go, oh my gosh, that's how I can do it. That's how I face this. That's how I deal with this. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And so it's a wonderful treat for Kim and I. We're, I have feet of clay. I make mistakes every single day, but I'm learning and growing. And so we love it too. And it's interesting because it's a nice transition. I think we sent you all our 13 pillars and we kind of have 13 main ideas that we talk about a lot. And I think that every successful relationship has really got to have those in varying degrees. And there's three of them that we call the three C's that are kind of foundational. And the first C of those three C's is commitment. And so I'd love to hear from both of you. Mindy, maybe you can start. What does commitment look like in your relationship?
Obviously marriages are commitments, but well before we were married, I felt that commitment. And, from the moment we met, I mean, we were sitting around the fire pit the other night with a friend and we were telling him about our first date and it was a blind date. And we sat around the fire pit in the back and talked till it was about 6 a.m. You had to fly out the next that morning, but we
I typically have a hard time getting past 10 p.m.
He's an early, you know, he's an early bed
goer. Usually a bottle of wine in there. So.
Yeah. And it was just this really cool conversation. And what one of the initial things I loved about him, he is this amazingly loyal, just real guy. And not everyone is that, you know, I'm in the music business. There, it's not really been built on loyalty, shall we say. So to meet someone who he was so grounded in family, you know, growing up in New Jersey in this Italian family, it was all about the kids and getting together and his dad going to his ball games and his brothers, you know, being one. And, you know, I just really got that from him. And it was something that was incredibly attractive to me. And just knowing that was the guy he was pretty incredible. So we built that. You know, moving forward, I just had this innate sense of trust in him. And, you know, that trust doesn't come normally to me because what I'm around mostly is, you know, are people that don't live like that. So it was a really cool thing.
Especially in the city we live in, it's even more accentuated here.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. You look at big personalities, big rock stars, you know, that is not what usually their relationships are built on, is trust and commitment and all of that. So it was really special to me to, you know, meet someone that was that. And that's what I wanted to be with. That's truth for me. That's honesty. That's, you know, being in a relationship. You have to have that commitment with each other. And super early on, we were both just, you know, we were glued.
Yeah. But I also think that had something to do with where we were in life. Like I said, we were in our early 40s. We kind of developed who we were quite a bit at that point. And so that made that decision just a lot easier. There was nothing preconceived. It was just simple. And the answer from my side is very simple. She's all in. That was it. First person I ever dated that when we started to fall in love, she was all in. And there was no question about that at all, about anything. Zero, from finances to anything, to where we went and how you treated the relationship and all of that. It was 100% in. So there was no, you know, the tentative moments of, is this going to work or is this not? And she was just not blindly all in, but she just knew that this was the right thing as much as I did. So made it easy just to dive in because there's nothing else you're freaked out about, I guess, you know. Yeah. It's just, this is perfect.
Sure. So I want to, I love that the expression all in, right? Nothing, there's no other plan. She wasn't saying, well, if this doesn't work out, maybe I'll slide over to this thing, right? Yeah. Wasn't playing the field at all. But can you think of anything specific, Eric? So when you say all in, what made you feel that way? Was it something she said, something she did, something you agreed to? What were the things that went on that made you feel, wow, this woman is all in on us?
No, there's a 120% trust. And I couldn't tell you why. Never had that with my past relationships. There was always little something, whatever it is, whatever we make up in our minds with throughout a day, that there was something that someone said or did or a text or an email or, what is that all about? Never once to this day have I ever questioned anything than 100% trust. It's just unbelievable in everything.
So I hear you saying,
relationships have multifacets to them, especially now that we're married in business. There's things that break up relationships all the time. Money, right? Finances, how we deal with challenges with the kids or careers. Never once have ever questioned the trust, the loyalty, the decisions she's made that have all been about us and not selfish, I guess.
And I think we did make decisions early on that it took each of us out of our comfort zones in ways. You know, it's like I didn't have kids. And, you know, I was in a business that, you know, I was touring all the time and traveling and in a studio all hours of the night. It wasn't the perfect scenario for having children for me. You know, I've heard it said, you know, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. And so to have kids when I had built this career and spent so much time, you know, and effort building it, and I was to a place that I loved so much.
By the way, I just grabbed the wine when you started talking about the kids.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, here I was, this, you know, probably the one woman out of the entire planet who didn't have kids. And I get with a guy who has two girls, and it's not 50-50, you know, custody. It was 100% custody. He was raising his daughters himself. And that was something that was not in my comfort zone. It was not something I didn't want necessarily. It was just something I had never even thought about.
Yeah.
And so I just jumped in. They're such beautiful girls and they're amazing. And to watch him with them was inspiring. He taught me and I learned and just kind of, you know, immersed and fell in love with them as I was falling in love with him. But it, you know, I think that commitment aspect, we both had to go out of our comfort zone and become a team and learn from each other and kind of find our new path. And I think that was something that made us stronger and made each of us believe, you know, in the commitment of each other.
Absolutely.
That's a great segue into our second pillar of the three C's, and that's communication. And either of you can take this question. I'd like to hear from both of you, but either of you can take it first. Tell me a little bit about how you communicate. You know, communication is key in a relationship. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, and we'll get into conflict resolution a little bit later, but What does communication look like in your relationship, and how do you handle when it's, you know, not so great?
We text each other from across the room.
Text wars.
You've done that. Yeah.
Totally.
There's been times where we're literally sitting next to each other on the couch, and she'll shoot me an email. Hey, what do you think about this? And I look. I'm like, hey, I'm right here. She's like, yeah, I was doing email, so I just figured I'd email it to you.
He used to leave me notes under my pillow. Like, or a note in my little Saks case. I thought
I love that.
Yeah. I'd leave on tour, you know, and I'd bring out my Saks.
That's when we were living separately. So we were dropping little notes on each other. Now I'm carrying the Saks case. So,
yeah. Right. It takes the special communication out of it. Yeah.
I would leave a note to myself. you want to field that one? The wife?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to field. I mean, communication is in so many ways everything. And we are different people. You know, as you said earlier, I am chattier and I'm definitely, you know, used to just, having friends over and just, you know, talking and having fun. And, you know, communication is a pretty natural thing for me. And we've both been really open with each other. I think from the very start, you know, we would just talk about things and say how we felt about them. You know, I think our communication is pretty amazing. We don't like pussyfoot around. If something's, you know, happening and we need it a certain way, we'll sit down and go, hey, you know, this is going on. I feel this way. I don't know where you stand, or we need to figure this out. I really think just our openness has been great. And I wouldn't say that, you know, maybe just looking at him from across the room or something, not knowing him, if he would be that guy, because he's not the normally chatty Kathy, you know, let's talk about everything. But he is very sensitive and he is very passionate and things matter to him. And I love that. And so taking that into consideration, we have to talk everything out. And I love that he'll come to me and talk to me about things that that matter to him that maybe I wasn't thinking about. You know, I can be the musician just like, la-da-da, I'm going to leave all the windows open and no curtains and, you know, whatever. And he's like, whoa, you know. you know, it's crazy stuff, but Whereas I'm the chattier person in real life, maybe I'm not the more open person. I'm more kind of, not as open about talking about our feelings or, you know, things that could be incredibly bad not to talk about. So I love that he is that personality that will bring it up and have that conversation. I think that's such a strength.
It sounds like you're not as vulnerable, maybe, as he is willing to be. And you're learning how to open up and those feelings out there.
You know, I think it's an awareness. She put it really well. She's a butterfly. And I'm more, you know, in my head, kind of looking, scanning. You know, when you grow up with two girls, you're constantly, where's the car? Who's near them? So that I had to, for the last 20 years, do that. And she's more of a butterfly. And so there's moments where something will go down and I'll mention it to her, but then she'll click. She'll see it and go, oh, okay, cool. And then she'll kick into whatever mode we need at that moment, resolution or, you know, or happiness or whatever we're talking about. So it's just making her aware of something in a very subtle way, and she'll kick right into talking about it easily. Yeah.
So what about you, Eric?
Where I see too many things and I got to let it go a little bit. Yeah. I'm a little scoochier.
A little scoochier in your communication.
You guys could use that for the next book.
I love it.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. And by the way, there's multiple spellings and they're all acceptable.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll get the phonetics.
But that's a great question. Now, we communicate spectacularly well. I don't have an issue with it at all. Actually, it's fantastic. So
that's good. Well, and so what's interesting is when there is an issue with communication, not always driven by communication, but definitely, you know, conflict arises in relationships, and it could be the little things if they're not dealt with, and sometimes they can pile up and then all of a sudden, right, there's an explosion. So when there has been conflict in your relationship, when there hasn't maybe been that perfect agreement, how do you guys resolve it? How do you resolve things that come up so that they don't become big things? Or have there been any of those big explosions like, okay, holy cow, we've got to do something deep here?
Well, it typically surrounds either the availability of pasta, salami in the house for me, mortadella. No. When that gets low, then I get a little sketchy.
Then I've got to go to the store.
Yeah. The conflict is resolved and everybody moves on. I say for her, it's the level of champagne that's available.
No, that helps.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah. I mean, every once in a while, of course, there's going to be something you disagree on. There's going to be something you do that, that maybe hurts the other person that you have no idea on. You know, like I said, sometimes I'm just in my own little world doing my thing. And, like early on.
I like how you do that, by the way. You're like a Disney character.
Yeah.
Like a bunny running around the house.
In my own world. And, you know, I'd come back from tour and I'd just be in my own world. And, you know, he'd remind me, hey, we got two little girls here and we gotta go do stuff with them and we gotta focus on them. Or, you know, your parents are coming over, help them, you know, focus on the girls and let's make this, you know, an environment for them that feels like home, even though, you know, you've been gone a couple days. So let's really be this family. And, you know, as I said, it wasn't, natural for me at first. So he would talk with me and I would just go, oh, I didn't even realize that I was kind of doing that. I didn't realize that I was just kind of in my own space because that's what I was used to, you know. But I love that we can just talk it out.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's always reasonable.
I think sometimes we start to get ahead of it a little bit and say, okay, before everybody comes over, because the conversation could shift right into tour schedule or something like that. And we have the daughters there,
yeah,
to her point. And I'll say, okay, before we go on, if you find that in 20 minutes, you know, the girls are just getting bored and looking on their phone, let's ask them a question, things like that.
Yeah.
So we would try to get ahead of it before it would actually happen. Because again, with history and other relationships, we kind of knew certain things were going to come up. And so we try to, head them off at the pass.
Yeah. And create a balance in our lives, you know, so many times, with my music, you know, you can just be in that, you know, I'm making a record, I'm writing songs, I'm in this, you know, path, and it's my whole head and everything goes there.
That's okay though. And you know, after I've went through one album, you know, dating mm-hmm. you at that time, I see where she has to go and what other musicians go through. And it's awesome. And I love that. And so I give her the space. And so, you know, we kind of get ahead of it, I guess is a good way to say it.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's all about the conversations and about making each other aware of, I need this or, I need that. So it's never some knockdown, drag out fight. We're not good fighters. But both of us are A type personalities.
You think so?
So I think that, you know, coming at this with two A type personalities will be like, we've got to fix this. We can't live like, you know, this is going to be a problem. You know, we're overthinking stuff in advance, which can be good and bad.
Turning it into a positive about both being in the same quadrant, right? The A quadrant of, you know, strong and opinionated, it actually has worked in our advantage because that's how we resolve things.
Yeah. And it sounds like good communication between the two of you really has kept you from having a lot of conflict, right? Yep. You know, when she needs her space, when she is in her artistic mode, or maybe she's recording and just, she really needs that focus. Right. Mm-hmm. So you back off, you figured it out, but it sounds to me like the communication really has led to, less conflict.
Yeah. And if I get scoochy, she scratches my head, and it just seems to calm me down like a rabid bear that just finally goes to sleep. I'm just like, what were we talking about?
Works every time.
So she treats me more like a wilderness animal, wild animal, and and it actually does work. It's half joking. It does actually work. So.
I love it. Well, it's interesting because through that good communication and letting you know what each other's needs are, if you don't know, you know, we talked about this before, is that, you know, I'm not a great mind reader, and, you know, I'd love to think I can anticipate and sense. I'm definitely aware, but I don't always know what she's thinking. And if I don't ask or she doesn't tell me, the train may never get to the station. Right.
Yeah.
And so knowing those needs gives you the opportunity. It sounds like not only do you all communicate well about what your needs are, but you're willing to fulfill them because you know it's what your partner needs to be successful, to be happy. And that's great. Love to hear that.
Yeah.
So we're
real with each other. I think, you know, you just have to say it sometimes, you know?
Yeah. You have to be open, vulnerable, real. All those things, I believe, are what bring you closer together, right?
Yeah, those are hard things to be. And I think we've found them easier than most, but I think it's hard to be vulnerable. You know, I grew up a woman in a man's world in music. Vulnerability is not the key to success necessarily, but in a relationship, it is. So it's you know, a different thing to learn to open yourself up to, you know, to someone and be out there to be hurt.
And I think that doesn't mean abruptness too on how we approach each other. You know, it is the famous saying, you know, you don't take a fly off someone's head with an axe. There is, but you can do it with a really good slap.
So, wow. Really?
No, I mean, like, you know, the fly off the heads, you know, thing. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm like a wife beating. Nice.
No, just fly off the head. So
We got you.
A soft approach, really, is what I hear you saying. Yeah, for sure.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
You know what? I know we covered some of this before, but that's everything. Billy Joel wrote the song, Honesty. It covers it. Like, you can have a bunch of other stuff wrong, but if you can be honest with each other about, you know, whatever it is, things have a chance of working out.
Yeah, we don't play well in mystery in any world, meaning not with each other, but just anybody we deal with, the daughters, anybody, our parents. If we know what the situation is, then trust and I, we can make decisions, we could pivot, yeah. We can. And I think that's in any business relationship too, especially us being business partners, trust and honesty. Yeah. And yeah. And quite honestly, I was choosing that as well.
Too late. Yeah. I chose it. So.
Isn't it quite honestly before?
I mean, it's something we talk to our daughters about, you know, it just all the time. You have to be honest with each other. You have to be honest with us. That's the only way we can be good parents. We have to be honest with you. And yeah. That creates a trust that is so necessary. So with each other, you know, I know what kind of person he is. And besides being, you know, an open person and wanting to talk about those things that are, you know, maybe not as easy for me to talk about. He's just a trustworthy, honest guy. He's that loyal Italian stereotype of I am what I am. And this is, you know, this is my reality. This is my truth. And I got to live by it. And I love that. And that works great for me because the more of that I get, I know what I need to do. I know what the scene is so I can live in it and prosper in yeah. it, you know, and I yeah. want that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am the same way with him. I'm always honest about things and always, you know, forthcoming. And, you know, I know people who hide tons of stuff from their wives and husbands. And you know, we've talked about it. You're kidding me.
Don't you guys?
Oh, my God.
You have conversations with other couples sometimes and you hear them say things. Someone will leave the room and, you know, she doesn't know I do this or something. We hear that all the time.
Sure.
Like, she knows. Sure. You know, everything. And not that, you know, you don't have privacy, but it's still unbelievable to us, you know.
Mindy, I hear you saying that integrity really has created a sense of security for you.
Yeah.
And that's what's most important.
Yeah. And allowed us to make decisions early on that if this is something we wanted to do or not.
Right.
I knew 100% what she was about, what she thought, how she felt about things, religious-wise, financial-wise, all those things, and relationship-wise and kids, and great. If I agreed with them, then I'm in. If not, then I'm not. And, of course, we agreed with more than not. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So it sounds like, I mean, what we definitely invited you on because, A, we did know you were a kick-ass, and you guys have given us some wonderful insight, and we're firm believers in our experience that the strength and joy and love that we have in our relationship spills over to the rest of our lives. So I'd love for you all to think about the success of your relationship, to think of the term spillover thinking. How does your success as a couple spill into or affect the other areas of your lives, whether it's business, extended family, friends? How have you seen that play out together?
Your mother seems very happy that you're happy. And I do love that.
That's awesome.
But
and the girls love her, their bonus mom too.
I love that was my next, what I was going to go to was the girls. I think, you know, that the girls have grown up. I mean, I came into their lives when I think they were 8 and 11. They're now
somewhere around there. Yeah.
Well, next month they're 18 and 21.
Wow.
So
they're adults.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But I love that they've had this view of a couple being in love and a couple being a team and taking each other seriously and not taking each other for granted. And, you know, I love that they've had parents together that they could look to and get a sense of what they would want a relationship to be. Because I see in so many people's kids, you know, coming from marriages that didn't work or, you know, bringing kids back and forth between mom and dad, different places and everything. It's tough to get a sense of love and teamwork from a broken home, you know? So I just think that that's one of the coolest things that our girls could grow up seeing us in love and seeing us, you know, living together and working things out and loving them. That's meaningful, I hope, to them in the future.
Oh, I think it is, definitely. And it's definitely the number one thing that I would choose as well. Definitely. I think the second one, too, is in our business. Now that, you know, the pandemic is kind of coming out of it and we're being exposed to people even more so, we're actually seeing that our little idea here is flourishing. And mostly not just because of the great wine and the awesome shows and the music, you know, the some of the greatest music in the world that Mindy performs, puts on, and especially with your friends. But with just our business, people are buying into our business because of us more than anything else, because of our relationship. We're hearing that more and more now as we get out. And we did a lot of online live shows, 50 or 60, something like that.
Yeah, more.
Over the last year. So we didn't realize how exposed we were getting. I mean, Mindy will attract quite a large audience a couple of times, over 100,000 people. And now that we're out and people are just commenting on our relationship more than the wine, more than the music. And then they say, holy cow, the show is awesome and this wine is great. So it's it's spilled out in a way where now we're very not surprised, but we're like, this is kind of cool. You know, we go back to the hotel and I go, well, that was pretty awesome. You know, that all these people came up to us and said, you guys are like the greatest couple. We just loved seeing you guys. We tune in online just to watch you guys, watch Mindy, you know, perform. And it's just, that's pretty cool. Not that it validates our relationship. If it all ended tomorrow, we'd be drinking wine, listening to music on our back porch. But it is kind of fun, you know, it is kind of fun.
Well, it's something that I really pushed back on, you know, in a normal world, pre-pandemic, I didn't post a lot of stuff of my personal life. I would really keep it, you know, business. And the pandemic, though, really changed that. And I kind of did something that was outside my comfort zone, bringing people to our porch, doing shows, you know, because there was no other opportunity. So I feel like I kind of had to let people in for our sanity, you know, for my sanity, just to kind of connect. Yeah. But it worked out in a really great way that I couldn't have foreseen that now, you know, someone came up to us last week after a show and they just said, will you do another cooking show? The cooking shows are really fun. You guys are funny and goofy. And it's not, it's not that we're chefs. We're not. But, you know, he's throwing things around and we're goofing on each other. And it is, it's fun. But I never, ever, ever consider that someone would, you know, just kind of react to that and connect to that. So it's been kind of fun for us to go, oh, wow, they kind of know us as a couple now. This is different.
And you could worry that exposes the relationship even more so. But we've, you know, and that might make people uncomfortable but I think it's even better. I just that we inspire other people is inspiring to me to be better in our relationship. We're like and Tennille. We're like peaches and herb.
Love will keep you together.
Love will keep you together for
That's
sure.
Right.
Because I really love you. Stop. I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and you know let love keep us together.
Do 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 do.
Whatever.
Ba da ba da ba.
You know it too.
I tell you,
we all know it.
I've never sung that to her before. No,
I think I put that on your playlist that I made for
our 20th anniversary. Yeah, it was on.
Nice, very nice. Yeah. You know, I think it was the other day. I was singing Phil Collins, and Mindy said to me, "Hey, do you know why Phil Collins sings that song?" And I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "Because you don't have to." So I don't have the greatest voice. No.
Yeah. He's awesome. No.
But I'll still sing like I do have a great voice, like we all do in our
private That's right. So. Absolutely. So we're going to ask you guys to, we're coming in on the close here, but I want you to think if you go back to your unmarried self, and Mindy, we're going to ask you first, if you could put your hands on your shoulders and say, sweetie, let me give you one piece of advice before you get married, and it's this, what would advice would you give to your unmarried self?
Marry a wine guy.
That wasn't I love me. How you answered it Sorry. For her.
It's a go. It's a go. It's
I apologize.
A win.
There's the Italian.
You know, that's such a great question. And that's why you're doing this, because you are so thoughtful with this stuff.
Oh, stop dancing around it.
You know, what would I tell myself? I would tell myself to look for a partner and to look for someone who's going to be, you know, just a partner in love and a partner in, you know, the things you have to do in life and get those done too. And a partner in family. And, you know, I look back now as being married and being us for so long. That's just a beautiful thing. And I feel bad sometimes when people don't have partners. And I just look at us and we get to share our lives together and watch movies and goof on them or get excited about them or talk about what's going on with our daughters or our families and just share it, have someone to share it with. So you know, that's the thing that comes to mind, although I could come up with like 20 more things. But that's really the first thing I would say to the unmarried Mindy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I would say to the unmarried Eric, find someone who can make me to bring out all the great things that you want to be in life. You know, we all have this thing in our head of what we should be, look like, mm-hmm. act like all day, conduct business, conduct personal lives. You know, you have this person in your head and of, you know, of this almost barometer. And I would say that finding Mindy brought out all the things that I've always wanted to be, but even more than I ever expected. So, and that includes how I, you know, approach my relationship with her and challenges and great times and all that stuff. So, she's made me a far better person than I ever could have been without her. So
that's so nice.
I love hearing you say that because, you know, I was married for a very short time, very young, to a musician and, that person didn't bring out the best in me. And I didn't realize that obviously until later, but this guy right here brings out all of the good in me. And I love hearing you say that because I think it's really important that we find that person that can really tap into us and bring those qualities out because they're there.
Was your previous relationship a drummer?
He was not a lead guitarist.
He only says that because when we were first together, I was on a jazz cruise and I was on a women's panel.
And I think I was brand new.
You were brand new.
I was shiny still.
Yeah. He was the new boyfriend and I had brought him on the cruise. And so they were asking certain things and everything. And they said, well, we know that, you know, you guys were introduced and you got together. And the guy whose cruise it was, Dave Cause, had introduced us and set us up on a, you know, on a blind date. And it was all working out swimmingly. And they're like, well, you know, what drew you to Eric? And I'm on this panel and poor Eric is sitting in the audience,
Did you guys make me stand up in front of everybody?
I think
like 500-600 people in the room.
Yeah, like 500-600 women, So he's standing and I was just like.
It was on display.
Well, he's not a drummer.
I didn't know that was a musician at the time.
Not a drummer.
But it is a good joke.
I forget what the second one was.
He's a wine guy.
He's a wine guy. He's not a drummer. And look at him. And I understand it was very flippant. It was in, you know, it was just all in jest and everything. But
it was cocky. You?
But, you know, I.
So that's where I got that joke from. Apparently it works really well in music. So everybody goofs on the drummers.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for opening up and for sharing a little bit about your relationship and your world together. And
it
you
was fun.
Definitely are a kick-ass couple. And we're just so grateful that you are here with us and
How
sharing
like
with our
wine?
Listeners. The wine is wonderful. And Matthew's going to.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, so if people want to learn more about you two individually or together in your new business, where can they go to find out more? Because they're going to hear this and they say, we got to find these people. How do they find you?
We want to drink. We want to listen to music. We got to hang out more. You can find me and the music I make at mindyabair.com. And that's MindyAbair.com. So you can find, you know, new records, all that kind of stuff.
Tour dates.
Yeah. And you can follow me at Facebook. And that's at Mindy Abair, or Instagram at Mindy Abair. And of course, we're still doing our fun live shows on the porch via Facebook Live.
Great people that come by. We just had Bill Champlin not too long ago from Chicago come by, do a couple songs. So it's always fun to see who's going to come by the back porch.
Yeah. So we always have fun making music with different people.
Yeah.
And then as far as wine,
we have our little wine company is called ReserveTastings.com, Reserve Tastings. And it is pairing wine and music, and it is a private membership. Though we have a little store open there, you could buy our wines, but it's a private membership of a club. Basically, we ship wine to you 4 times a year. But these wines are incredibly special, and we say that because they're wines that we curate. So I have winemaker friends that make wine for $100 wineries, you know, $50 Chardonnays. And we get a little extra. We peel off a little extra. So it could be an outstanding Rutherford Sauvignon Blanc that we have here called So You Wanna Be a Rock and Roll Star. And we bottled these wines, and we always have a unique label on them. So the wines are something that you cannot find, but they're all super high-end wines. They usually average around $35. But the labels are the special part, my special piece also, in my opinion. Everything is music related. We take the style of wine and pair it with a style of music. So you guys have Viva La Soul there, which is a very earthy Pinot Noir from Monterey. And so the playlist and the music pairing we did with that, the record label is like an old 45 on the label. Sorry, it's an old record. I mean, the playlist is all soul music. It's Sam Cooke. It is Otis Redding. It's Etta James. So we pair wine and music together, and we love for you guys to be part of our little membership. It's a pretty simple little direct-to-consumer wine company. So it's with very high-end wines and a really all original artwork. So.
Well, it's delicious. It's delicious. Thank you for sharing it with us.
So we're going to toast you guys. A toast.
Toast to you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Rock and roll star.
Cheers. We loved having you.
Yes, you guys are awesome.
This was so fun. Right? Let's do this all the time. I'll talk about him all day.
Yeah. She's my favorite topic, too. All right.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.